Good morning, everyone. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord today? I know I am. Why don't you stand with us? Yes, let's give him a hand of praise. I saw somebody clapping. Let's do that real quick. Let's give God a hand of praise. It's hard to do that with the mic. It's awesome to be in the house with you, of the Lord with you this morning. So let's just worship him.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. And come all ye sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. Is waiting there, so God so loved the world.
Amen. Aren't you glad God so loved the world? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We just right from the beginning, we just call upon you, Lord, for your blessing and for your help and your anointing upon this service. We thank you, Lord, as we kick off this fall 2020 Missions Convention, that, Lord, that you are still concerned about the wheat that's left in the field. You're still concerned about the souls that are still lost and on their way to hell. And I pray, Father God, that you help us as your church to have a heart for the lost, to have a heart for people. And so we pray, Lord, today that you would just bless and guide every single part of the service. We thank you for our missionary guests who are with us today. We pray that you would just bless and anoint them as they come in just a little bit. And Father God, just keep your hand upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Amen. As you notice, we're looking a little sparse this morning. We've had several people that have been affected by the virus. Either they have it or they are quarantined. All of Pastor Phil's family is out today, and others connected with their family are quarantining because they know them, and then some others that are sick. So we're just kind of low today, but how many of you know the Lord's here? The Lord is here, and we're glad you're here. Thank you for everyone who came out yesterday and helped with the work day. We had a tremendous crowd of people going here and yonder and everything yesterday. We got a lot of things accomplished, and thank you for the wonderful breakfast, George, and some of the ladies who helped him. And so we just had a great time yesterday. Thank you for all of your help. Amen. Water baptism service is coming in a couple of weeks. If you'd like to be baptized, please sign up. The information's there in the bulletin. And so there's several other announcements in your bulletin. I'm not going to take time to go through those. You can read, and we've been going over them. So thank you for being here today. So we're going to wait upon you for our offering. If our ushers would come, this will be for our regular offering. We will do a missions offering later at the end of the service for our guests today, and so keep that in mind. So, Father God, thank you, Lord, for the offering today. Thank you, Lord, for those that give and those who cannot. We pray that you would just bless both gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team's going to come back now.
Once the plate passes by, you'll stand back with us. You know, we went to the women's conference a week or so ago, and one of the things that they talked about is the fact that, you know, I don't know if you've ever had the feeling where you're not confident in what you're doing. You ever been a little worried about what you're doing, whether you're doing what God asked you to do? And I know that I sometimes get up here and I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. But during that time that we had there, I just felt that God just laid his hands on me and he said, it's going to be okay and you can do that. Because it's hard to get up here and sing every Sunday. But I have a God. I have a God that's awesome and amazing. And that he says in his name, we can do anything. So I am believing for a move in this church like we've never had before. So I want you to join me and start praying for that. I want us to walk in here one Sunday morning and we don't leave till Sunday night because the Spirit of God has fallen on this congregation and we just can't get up. That all we want to do is praise him and worship him because there's nothing greater than being in God's presence. And if you haven't been there, then you don't know what you're missing. So that's my desire, is to see a move in this church like it's never happened before. So mountains are still being moved, and strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. You believe it? And giants are still being slain. And God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you, come and do what you do. We are here for you, come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you, come and do what you do, 'cause we need worship you, Lord. Father, we just want to enter your presence. Just stay with you a little while. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like. Start that again. I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your vision. Could never earn it. You give me what don't deserve it. You take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle. Your name. And Lord, we just know that there's nothing that we can't do in the authority that you've given us in your name, Father Lord. And this morning we have people in our congregation who are sick. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just claim that they will be healed. that the sickness will not spread any further in this congregation, and that you will be here, that you will just pour your healing spirit out upon every member of this congregation, that those who are not feeling that well this morning, that will be healed. And we just believe that, Father, Lord, and we just cry out to you and just give you praise and glory, for you are worthy of every praise on this earth. And Lord, I don't want to let the rocks cry out this morning. I want to praise you and worship you and glorify your name, for you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And someday I want to be in heaven singing with you and praising you and worshiping you, Lord Jesus. And we just give you the glory and the honor. And we just want to praise you this morning and lift up your name. We thank you, Father, Lord. We just give you glory and praise. Thank you for your
Hallelujah. Lord, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Blessing and glory and honor and power be unto you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who are sick in body this morning. We pray that you touch them. We pray that you minister your healing touch right now to them. Lord, and bless our nation and bless our leaders, Lord. And God, let righteousness prevail and truth prevail in the elections coming up, Lord. And God, we just pray your mercy upon our nation. We pray, Lord, that you bring revival and a great awakening and a breakthrough into our nation as we are seeing little pockets of revival all over, Lord. Even in the midst of what is happening in our country, you are moving. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And so, Father God, we just pray that you continue to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, upon your church, Lord, upon our nation, upon Israel, Lord, upon the world. Let the Spirit of God move across this world as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord, this morning. We praise your holy and righteous and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. I hope that you picked up a missions bulletin. It was within your bulletin there. List all of the missionaries and mission projects that we support as a church on a monthly basis to the tune of $6,300 a month. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you for your giving, sacrificial giving to make that happen. I firmly believe and will always believe that the Lord blesses missions-minded churches. The Lord cares about the lost, and he blesses churches that put the Great Commission at the top of their list of priorities. And so you can read through that of all the missionaries to support. Inside there is a faith promise card, and I'd like for you to take this home this week and really pray about it. Put it on your fridge or put it on your nightstand or with your Bible, or maybe put it in your kitchen where you like to get food out, you know, a place where you'll always see it. And say, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do to give above my tithes and offering to missions over the next 6 months? And so I trust that you will do that. And next Sunday, we will be receiving those at the conclusion of the service. It is a great privilege this morning to have Adam and Bethany Weatherly with us. They are missionaries to Spain. They have two boys, Caleb and Samuel. Samuel, yeah, my mind went blank for a second. Anyway, we are so delighted they are with us today. So help me welcome Adam and Bethany Weatherly this morning.
Well, how are y'all doing today? Good, good. So we are so happy to be here today. Pastor Lance, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. I promise I will not do what I did 10 years ago with the youth group. I preached 6 sermons in one night for over an hour of preaching for the youth group. And so I've learned a lot since then, and I don't do that now. Just so that way I can put your heart at ease there on that one. So Pastor, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Now, Pastor Lance actually stole my joke. So out there on the table, we have our prayer cards. And so we ask for you to take one of our prayer cards and put it either in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you open up the most, so that we each time you see it, you can remember to pray for our family in Spain. So right down here, I do have my wife Bethany with me this morning, and our two boys, Caleb and Samuel, are back in the kids area having fun this morning. And so another really easy way to remember to pray for us is to simply remember your ABCs. Because if you can remember your ABCs, then you can remember to pray for Adam, Bethany, Caleb, and Samuel Weatherly. So we also want to say thank you so much for your support over the past 4 years, you guys have poured into our ministry, both in prayer and finances, and we cannot thank you enough, because without you, we could not have done what God called us to do in Spain. And so we say thank you. And over our last term, for those of you who don't know us, we served at the International Media Ministries in Madrid, Spain, where we helped to develop the Heritage Project. And the Heritage Project is a series of 8 short docudrama-style films similar to what you would see on the History Channel. And these are directed towards North Africa, where right now there is a lie being spread that North Africa has always been and always will be Muslim. We know that to be a lie from the pit of hell, because when we look at the early church from the 1st through the 5th centuries, we see some of the most prolific early church theologians and leaders came from North Africa. And so today I brought a trailer for y'all to view for what you guys have made happen. So if y'all could play that for us, please.
2,000 years ago, North Africa was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman legions stationed in Alexandria, as well as the legions in Spain, were always present in the minds of the people of Africa Proconsularis, as the Romans called it. There was trade and commerce by sea northward across the Mediterranean. Political power was in the hands of the emperor and the Senate in Rome. And generally, North Africa prospered and was at peace, and people were content to think of themselves as both African and Roman. This is the story of the first 5 centuries, when North Africa was the home of a vibrant Christian church, of thousands of ordinary men and women who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. During the persecutions under the Romans, there were men and women alike who were prepared to die rather than renounce their faith in Christ. There were great church leaders in North Africa, Tertullian, the legal advocate and apologist, Augustine, the theologian, Victor, a Berber who became the Bishop of Rome, and Quadvolt Deus, who gave courage to the church at a time of persecution under the Vandals. But the church stood strong, as it had done for 400 years. This is their story.
Because of your giving, this story is going into North Africa and the Middle East. And it's being broadcasted through a company that I actually can't give you their name because that would put some of their people in danger. But they're a broadcasting company that is developed for the Middle East. And they let us know that when they broadcast one of our shows, it goes out and there is an audience base of almost 450 million people. And when one show airs, on average, 55 million people tune in to hear and see what they are showing. And so, and with this ministry, they not only have Christians that are watching it, but because the entertainment industry is the way that it is in that part of the world, it's becoming a lot like America's entertainment industry, where even the Muslims say there's something wrong going on with this, and so they even tune into these stations to allow their kids to watch programming that they know is safe. Praise God that we have ministries in media in the Middle East right now and in North Africa. So just a quick question. How many of you have Amazon Prime? We have, okay, good, quite a few people. So the Heritage Project is actually on Amazon Prime right now. We have a partnering ministry called Vision Video, who they specialize in Christian video distribution. And when they found out about what we were doing, they said, you know what, the American audience needs to hear about this. And so we're going to take the Heritage Project, we're going to rename it to Lost Legacy Reclaimed, and we're going to put it on Amazon Prime so that way the American audience can learn about the early church history. Not only that, but they said also there are so many immigrants coming in from North Africa and the Middle East that this is another opportunity for them to learn about their own Christian heritage and for them to hear the gospel as well. And so they have that up on Amazon Prime. The first four episodes are available to watch today. And we're hoping that by the end of the fall, the second set of four will be up there to watch as well. And for those of you that don't have Amazon Prime, please don't worry. Walmart has actually picked this up, and you can buy it from walmart.com. Or if you're really nice to me today, then you can ask Pastor Lance, and I will give him all of the links to be able to watch these. They're great for personal entertainment. They are great for Bible studies, small groups, whatever the case is. They are an excellent resource for you to have. So that was last term. This next term, we have actually, just this last month, we were commissioned to be general appointed career missionaries, which for Bethany and I, this means that we are now lifetime committed to being missionaries. But this time, we're not going back to IMM. God broke our hearts while we were in Spain to reach Spaniards. And so this time we're going back to work with Global University that's there in Spain. And for quite a while now, they've been asking for an American missionary to come and help, because it is a husband and wife Spaniard team that's been running this university since around 2000. And so we are going to help them with whatever they need help with. And so our goal with them is to go out and reach the lost, train the found, and create resources for evangelism, discipleship, and church growth. And that's what we're going to be doing in Spain. So now today, I want to start the actual message part with a question. And that question is, do you think many people or few people will go to heaven? Our area director, Joe, a couple of years ago, when we were at a conference, he said, we know that Spain is less than 1% evangelical born-again Christians. If the rapture were to happen today, would they even notice? For Bethany and I, this really broke our hearts, that there would be a place that is so lost on earth that if the rapture were to happen today, it wouldn't even affect the economy or the country where the rapture would happen. Well, in a country when the rapture happens, I'll say it that way. This completely broke our hearts. And it was then that God started to move our hearts in a new direction to reach people there in Spain. The question now is it like that here in Oklahoma? If the rapture were to happen today, would non-Christians even notice? And if so, what are we going to do about it? You see, we must all be part of the solution in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in not only Oklahoma, but around the world. If you have your Bibles with you today, please open up to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 16, in verses 12 through 20. That is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 12 through 20. While you're turning there, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for each person that is here today in the audience. Lord, we thank you for each person who is watching online. Lord, we pray that you will open up our hearts, our minds, and all of our doors as to what you have to say through your word this morning. Lord, lead us and guide us, and continually let your spirit flow through this place. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth, every single time that he ministered to somebody, he aimed for their hearts. And so, you know, like, think for example, like those who were sick, like the leper who was lowered through the ceiling, he reached out, touched them, and he healed them. To those who were hungry, like the 5,000 plus people who were there listening to him preach, he fed them. And to those whose hearts were just off in the wrong part or in the wrong area, he spoke, like the rich young ruler, he directly spoke to their situation. Now in Mark chapter 16, Jesus had to come and speak to the hearts of the disciples. You see, this story starts up right after Jesus' resurrection, right after the three women went and found the tomb to be empty. They went back and they told the other disciples, but the other disciples did not believe them. This is where we pick up in verse 12. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. You see, this full story is actually told in the Gospel of Luke, chapters 24, verses 13 through 35. It's called the Road to Emmaus. You see, on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, there were two disciples. One of them, we don't know what his name is, but the other one's name is Cleopas. And so Cleopas and this other disciple, after everything that they had witnessed this last weekend, they decided to take a really long walk. About 7 miles they walked from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus. And on their journey to Emmaus, they were talking to each other about everything that had happened over that weekend, when all of a sudden, there was another man who appeared to be with them. And this man began talking with them and asking them questions. And they began telling this man about who Jesus was and what had happened to him over the weekend. And after they had walked the long 7 miles to Emmaus, it was about time to sit down and eat. They were hungry. And so they went in to have a meal with this man. And the man took a piece of bread. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And almost immediately, these two disciples' eyes were open and they realized that the man who was with them was actually Jesus, who cared enough for them to show himself to them. I can see it in these two disciples' minds. They run all the way back to Jerusalem. They burst through the doors where the other disciples were and said, "He's alive! He's alive! Jesus is alive." Just to hear the other disciples say, "Cleopas, new guy." Y'all are just as crazy as those three women. It was a figment of your imagination. It didn't really happen. Now just imagine for a minute. Put yourself in Peter, John, James. Put yourself in one of their sets of shoes. I guess back then it would be sandals. They didn't really have shoes, right? Put yourself in their situation, where they were. Imagine for a second, you were there as Pastor Lance was arrested, as he was put on trial and falsely accused, found to be guilty. Imagine being there as they took him, beat him senseless, tortured him, and then hung him on the cross with nails going through his hands and his feet. Imagine being there, hearing fluid filling his lungs as he suffocates to death. Because that is exactly what happened with the disciples. You see, they forgot the important things and the details that Jesus had taught them about what was going to happen. Now, in our lives today, how many times does this happen to us? We forget things all the time. You can ask my wife. I forget things. I'm probably the chief offender here. You see, we forget the important parts about our faith. We forget that God is working in us and through us every single day. When we look back in the Old Testament and we see the Israelites and Moses, we see all the miraculous things that God did for them while they were out in the desert. But then when Moses was called up on Mount Sinai and he was gone just for a little bit, the Israelites completely forgot about God. One of the things that I find interesting about this story is that when God called Moses up on that mountain, when you read that story, it says that all Israel was standing at the base of the mountain of Mount Sinai with Moses. That means that they saw God lower on top of Mount Sinai. They saw and heard the thunder and lightning. They saw these deep clouds lower. But yet, they forgot about God. Fast forward about 40 years. God said, it's time. Take the promised land. They sent out spies, and the spies came back and said how good everything was. But they failed to believe that God would do what he said he was going to do. How crazy are they that they forgot these things? They're miraculous things that happen around us all the time. And we are so blessed. But we forget that God is constantly moving in our lives and around our lives every single day. For the people of Europe, you see, they are no strangers to the gospel. But because of the hypocrisy and the corruption of the Catholic Church, they want absolutely nothing to do with God or with the church. When it comes to where we live in Spain, they are culturally and historically Catholic. But because of all of those issues that have happened with the Catholic Church over the past century, they have become so secularized that secularism is the new religion of Spain. So much so that less than 1% of Spaniards are born again evangelical Christians. And this is why we are being sent back to work with Global University there in Madrid, Spain. Verse 14, after he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. You see, because of the disciples' hard hearts and their unbelief about what the three women and the two disciples said, Jesus had to come and appear to them himself. You see, they should have known from the Old Testament what was going to happen. But again, they forgot. So Jesus had to come and show himself to them. And you see, it was extremely important for the disciples to understand what it was like to hear the testimony of eyewitnesses of Jesus' return because of what Jesus was about to ask them to do next. You see, Jesus was about to commission them to go into all of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and become part of the solution. This is why we're going to Global University, is because of training. We'll be helping to train some of the few Christians in Spain who are there and God has called to reach their own people in their own language and in their own cultural context. We're going to do this through distance education that reaches into prisons and into gypsy camps. And at Global University, there's four different schools that are part of Global University. There's the School of Evangelism and Discipleship for early brand new believers or for people who haven't quite yet made that commitment to Jesus. That's one of the schools we're going to be working with. And Global University goes all the way up to the doctoral level of school for people who are training for ministry. But at Global University in Madrid, we're concentrating on the School of Evangelism and Discipleship to help train to help reach the lost, and then we'll help train the found to become part of the solution in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through the School of Berean to help them learn what they need to know about being in ministry and about God's word so that way they can earn their ministerial credentials and become part of the solution. Jesus said to the disciples in verse 15, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So now Jesus is basically saying, okay, you guys, now you've seen me. You are eyewitnesses to me still being alive, to my resurrection. Now it is time to get busy and go to work. You see, the Gospel of Mark, it is known as the Gospel of Action. And the disciples are now commissioned to go into all of the world to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, what exactly are they supposed to be preaching? They're supposed to preach about the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're supposed to tell people about the salvation that only Jesus brings. And they're supposed to teach people about what Christ commanded so that way they could be a part of the solution. When we look at the book of Acts and the letters that the Apostle Paul and the other disciples wrote in the latter part of the New Testament, we see a perfect example of how people go and are trained and are going out to win disciples, to make disciples, and to evangelize. You see, for me, discipleship and evangelism, they go hand in hand. Because without discipleship, there would be nobody to be trained to go out and evangelize. And without evangelism, there would be nobody to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore would mean that there is nobody to be discipled. They go hand in hand. Now, for us today, we're all called to be a part of the solution. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are all part of this mandate called the Great Commission. And it's our job to go into every part of the world to make disciples. You see, also part of discipleship, that evangelism part, that is purposefully sharing the gospel with the intent on winning souls to Jesus Christ. We are all commissioned to do that, every single last one of us in this room. The other side of it is discipleship. That is the purposeful teaching of God's word so that we people then can become part of the solution. Again, every single last one of us in this room, that is our job as Christians. After commissioning them to go, Jesus encouraged the disciples by telling them about some of the signs and the things that would happen as they followed him and did what they were called to do. Verse 17, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now skip down to verse 20. "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." Now all of the signs that we just mentioned here were performed in the New Testament. You see, some of these signs were simply because the disciples went out and were doing what God had called them to do. We call these proactive signs. So when they came up on somebody who was sick, they would heal them. When they went into a new area that they didn't know the language, they would speak in tongues and would be understood. And at the same time, when they saw the demon possessed, they would cast out the demon in Jesus' name. Now, some of these things that happened to the disciples, we call these reactive signs. And these reactive signs happen because, well, let's face it, humans are cruel. And when anything opposes what we believe, we can become very, very cruel. We read some of these stories in the early church history from the first to the fifth centuries. We know that some of the early church leaders were thrown into snake pits with venomous snakes. And when they were bit, not a single thing happened to them. Others were forced to drink poison. And once again, when they did, not a single thing happened. You see, these signs, these miracles, these wonders, they're there to prove that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that he is alive and active today. You see, there's a lot of people today that say that miracles just don't happen today. Well, friends, I'm standing before you today because God did a miracle in my life. But that's actually a story and a sermon for another time. You see, the Bible teaches us that every time one person accepts Jesus, that the angels in heaven throw a great, mighty party because of that salvation. So today I want to tell you the story, a miracle, of a man named Kike. Kike is short for Enrique. And Enrique in English is Henry. We have any Henrys in here? Just out of curiosity? No? So Henry, or Kike, by the time he was 16, he had gotten into so much trouble that he was arrested, put on trial, and found to be guilty for what he was doing and was thrown in prison. And for those of you that don't know the Spanish prison system, that meant he was going to be there a long, long time. I'm talking he was 16. He wasn't going to get out till he was like 90, all right? But and then there's a ministry that came in and started holding Bible studies and started preaching and holding crusades in the prison that he was in. This ministry is called Raymar, and it is the Spanish equivalent of Teen Challenge. And so one day he was sitting through one of their meetings, and God really started to stir in his heart, and he didn't know what it was. And he just felt like he needed to go with these men from Raymar. So he goes to the prison warden, and the prison warden takes him to the judge, and finally the judge says, okay, Kike, here's the deal. You're supposed to be in here a long, long time. But if you promise to follow every single rule that Raymar sets for you, and you follow through with your parole, I will allow you to go and live at Raymar. It took about half a second for Kike to say yes. And while he was at Raymar, he began to become part of their Bible studies and began to learn about God and had God's word poured into his life to where he eventually accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord, God, and Savior. And when he did, God started stirring in his heart again. And he said, Kike, I want you to start feeding people. And so Kike opened up a food pantry, a feeding ministry, where it grew so much that they were feeding over 3,000 people every week. Not only that, because of how big it had grown, Kike had to build up leaders who could do the work with him. And once he built up his leadership team, God once again started stirring in Kike's heart again. He said, Kike, you have the leadership in place. You no longer need to be part of this food ministry. Step down. I want you to start learning more about the Bible, and I want you to get your ministerial credentials. And that's when Kike found out about Global University there in Spain. You see, Kike started at the very lowest level through the School of Evangelism and Discipleship. He did every class there, worked his way through the School of Berean, where he eventually earned his ministerial credentials. And if what I understand correctly, he even went on to get a college degree through Global University. So now today, Kike has gone back to where that food ministry was. You see, while he was doing that food ministry, he also started up a Bible study. That Bible study turned into a church. And now today, Kike is the pastor of that church that started from the Bible study that he started. And they are still feeding over 3,000 people every single week. Praise God. Praise God. See, when we read the New Testament, we read how the disciples, they went out into the entire world. Some stayed in Jerusalem, some went into Asia, and others into Europe, and some even went out further than that to the rest of the world. The disciples preached through the power of the Holy Spirit, and when they performed miracles, signs, and wonders in Jesus' name, people were saved. We also see that some of these disciples had an extremely effective one-on-one ministry where they would just go about their daily lives and they would minister to one person at a time. On the flip side of that coin, we also see other disciples had an extremely effective preaching ministry, where just one sermon, thousands of people would come to know Jesus. Amazing things happened. And today, as followers of Jesus, we are commissioned to do the same thing that Jesus commissioned the original disciples to do. Acts 1:8 tells us, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's why Jesus sent us his Holy Spirit, so that today we can be his disciples and follow through with the work that was started over 2,000 years ago. We are to start in our Jerusalem, which is our local community. For you guys, it's right here in Noble, Oklahoma. Then we're to step out and go to Judea, which would be the rest of Oklahoma, Samaria, which would be the United States, and still God is calling us to go out even further to the rest of the world. Now, how exactly can we do this in today's world? I mean, I get it. We're in a pandemic, number one. And then on top of that, we all have our lives, we all have responsibilities, jobs, families, we all have things going on. But you see, we are all, regardless of those things, still called to be a part of the solution and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we look at the New Testament, specifically with the disciples, there are three ways that the disciples invested into the kingdom of God. The first way is through prayer. They were devoted prayer warriors. They prayed about everything before they went out and did anything. And you know the first person today that we're supposed to be praying for? He's sitting right down here in the front row. Pastor Steve. You see, because without our prayers, and without the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit working through him, he could not do what God has called him to do. He needs your prayers. We won't even get into Pastor Phil. That's a whole different story. Then we need to be praying for those who are lost in our community, that they would have the opportunity of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and having the opportunity to become Christians. And please don't forget to pray for us missionaries, because when we're going through stuff on the field, we actually can feel your prayers and the encouragement that they bring. The second thing we see that the disciples invested in is in their finances. We read in the New Testament that there were a lot of disciples who literally sold off everything so that way the gospel of Jesus Christ would be pushed out as far as it could possibly go. And for us today, that means two things. Paying our tithe, which is 10% of everything that we earn. That tithe goes to our local church. That helps not only just to keep buildings like this up and running and looking nice, but it also helps as the church, I'm talking big C, you guys, reach into the local community through outreach efforts. That's what your 10% tithe goes towards. And then over and above your tithe is offerings. And offerings are anything that you give that goes to further the gospel and the kingdom of God outside of your local community. That means Convoy of Hope. That means Teen Challenge. That means Assembly of God World Missionaries that you support like us. That's what your offerings go towards. And the third thing that we see that the disciples invested in is they invested their lives into going and doing what God had called them to do. You see, for some of us here in the room, God is calling us to go to our friends and our family to have that one-on-one ministry time. That means standing in the line at Walmart as you're buying your groceries and sharing the gospel of Jesus with the person that is checking you out. That may mean talking to your cubicle neighbor next to you. That may mean something along those lines. For others, that may mean going on a short-term missions trip. Now, how many of you want to come to Spain? We would love to have you, by the way. Oh, I see a few hands. There we go. And still yet, others that are sitting in this room, God may be working on your life for a lifetime commitment to serving Jesus as a full-time minister or as a missionary. But whatever the case is, we are all called to invest our time into going out and being part of the solution to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today, after hearing all of this, we're in the middle of missions convention. Actually, we're day one, correct? We're in day one of missions commission convention. I'm getting tongue-tied. That means that God has been working on each one of your hearts that are sitting in this room. And for those of you that are watching online that might normally be here, God is working on your hearts about what you need to do to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be a part of the solution all around the world. And we pray that you would listen to the Holy Spirit as he tells you what to do, as he tells you what to give. And that is something personal that happens between each one of you and God. So today, as Pastor comes, I want to end the sermon, end this message with a prayer. This prayer comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And it's a prayer that God called the priests to pray over Israel as a prayer of blessing. And it is this: may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Adam. We want to receive an offering for the Weatherlys this morning, so if you would prepare that, and you can just make out a check to Noble Assembly of God and put on their Weatherly on the envelope. That'll help us to make sure they get that. So, ushers, if you would prepare. Amen. We've been challenged this morning to give, to pray, to go, and to make a difference in our world. And that's our call, as not just as a church, but as individual believers. There's lost people all around us. And our job is to let our light shine that they may experience the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. Aren't you glad you experienced the grace of God? Amen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that I've experienced. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for filling me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you for calling me to the ministry. I thank you, Lord, for all of your blessing throughout my life. I know that each one of us can look back and we can see your handprints upon our lives. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're still in the business of winning souls. You're still in the business of redeeming lost men and women. And this church is still in the business of letting its light shine, of pointing people towards the cross. And Lord, we always want to be about your business. We don't want to get caught up in doing things, Father God, that's away from the most important thing that we're supposed to be doing, and that is of pointing people to Jesus. And so, Lord, today we thank you for the Weatherlys, and we pray that you continue to bless them and their children as they go to Spain. I pray that you would bless this offering today, God. Use it to further the ministry that you have called them to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Rob. Adam and Bethany, can you come up here just a second? I do this from time to time. We're going to pray for you, but I also, just because I think people are interested in how you got doing what you're doing. Now, both of you are from Oklahoma? No, from where?
I was a missionary kid in Africa, so my parents are from Indiana, though, but I'm not.
Okay. When did you figure out that the Lord wanted you to also go into missions like your parents?
I think I was about 15 when God really started working on my heart. I went to school with a lot of Muslim people. Like, all my friends were Muslims, and so I just really had a love for them. I had no idea I was supposed to be scared of them. And so, you know, like many people are. And so I just felt like God had stirred that in my heart. And, you know, in Spain and everywhere around the world, there are Muslim people. So I'm just praying for those friendships and those connections.
So at about age 15, you felt like the Lord was tapping you on the shoulder and say, hey, I also want you to do what your parents have been doing. That's awesome. How about you, Adam? Kind of tell me your little short story there. Were you from Oklahoma?
Yes.
Okay. Where were you born and raised, and how did you know you were supposed to do?
I was born and raised in Edmond. I went to Spring Creek from 1990 on, minus a few years in college. but for me, I was 24, somewhere around in there, actually 25. And it's because Bethany was praying for me. So I was actually going to college to become a pastor, and that's what I wanted to do. That's what I felt God was calling me to do. And when Bethany and I started dating, she was like, okay, God, I really need you to change this guy's heart into missions, or I'm going to have to break it off. And so actually 3 months before we got married, God just did a great work in both of our lives. We're at separate chapels. We both worked at AG headquarters, separate chapels across Springfield, and God called both of us to Spain at the same time. And so we were just like, we talked later that evening and said, okay, Spain's where we need to go. And that's where we've been working towards ever since.
When did the Lord call you to be a minister? You said you wanted to be a pastor, but how old were you when you thought, the Lord, or you want me to be a minister versus being a doctor or a carpenter or whatever?
So I was actually saved on April 4th of 2004.
How old were you?
I was 20. Okay. And I was baptized a month later. And then a week after that, I found myself at a leadership retreat where God said, I want you to become a fisher of men.
Awesome. Don't you like people's stories like that? I think it's so cool. Because just like these guys, myself and others, God calls people from all walks of life at any time. And so be listening, saying, God, what are you wanting me to do? And you might be, you know, you might be 59 like me, and the Lord has a different assignment for you. So just be listening at all times. So let's pray. Stretch your hands toward Bethany and Adam. Lord, we just pray for the Weatherlys today. We pray that you would just bless them. I pray, Father God, that you provide for them. I know they have to raise a budget to do what they do. They don't just let them go for free. And I pray, Father God, that you would supply every need. I thank you for the churches like this one who stand along beside them and support them in the work that they've called them to do. I pray, Father God, your blessing of health and healing. I pray, Father God, for provision. I pray for anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon them. I pray, Father God, for Caleb and Samuel, their two boys. I pray that you would just bless these boys, help them to also grow up, to want to serve you and to want to follow you in ministry. And so, Lord, we just pray for the Weatherlys right now, and we thank you, Father, for what they're doing for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know, maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I never want to dismiss a service that I don't give an opportunity for someone to come to know the Lord as their Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure that you're going to spend eternity in heaven, and you want to know that, just lift up your hand right now, right in front of God and everybody, and say, hey, Pastor, you're talking to me. Pray for me today. Pray for me. Anybody here today? First time. All right. So everybody here in this room today is going to heaven, correct? Okay. All right. So if the rapture were to happen right now, this building would be completely empty. I pray to God that's the truth. That question you posed at the start of your message, I never thought about that before. If the rapture took place, would people even around know that their Christians were gone? I never really thought about that like that before. I trust that if the rapture happened today, that the town of Noble and the surrounding areas, there would definitely be an impact. Amen. I pray that. But I also see areas where it might not be the case, when there's so few Christians that life would just go on. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to make a difference, as we've talked about today. And I pray, Father God, that you would help the church to continue to grow stronger, that more and more people come to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray for those who are watching online today. Lord, I asked in this congregation how many were going to heaven. We all raised our hand. But I know watching today, there may be somebody that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is the real way and the real truth and the real life. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to that person right now. And I pray that that person comes to know you as Lord and Savior and puts their faith in you. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. See you tonight, 6 o'clock. We will have service tonight, 6 o'clock.
I know who I am. I am yours.